Thanks for listening to the Best of Coast to Coast podcast. If you want to hear more than just this highlight from the program, become a Coast Insider, and you can listen to the full episode, plus recent shows covering the mysterious death of Kurt Cobain, the possibility that government may soon reveal the truth about UFOs, and the power of witchcraft as told by an actual practicing witch. Start listening now by heading over to coasttocoastam.com and signing up for Coast Insider.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
All right, lucid dreaming, dreaming wide awake. Let's talk about that. Lucid dreaming, they're dreams where you know you're in the dream, right?
Exactly. It's a dream when you're aware and awake in the dream while it is actually happening. You see, what we normally do is when we're normally asleep and dreaming, we confuse the dream world with the waking world. In other words, while we're asleep and dreaming, we think that we're awake. We think we're interacting with real people in the real world, even though our bodies are lying peacefully, sleeping away, snoring in bed. In a lucid dream, we have the knowledge, the understanding that we're dreaming while it is actually happening, and can then take advantage of this incredible opportunity to interact in a world that the laws of physics no longer operate. We can do whatever we want, whatever we imagine. We can have interactions with people without the biological or social consequences that we have to deal with in this world. So it's an incredible opportunity for fantasy fulfillment, to experiment with things that we would love to do in this world but maybe are a little too timid to do. It's, we can fly, you can have sex with your ideal lover, you can go through walls, you can communicate with people who have passed on, you can communicate with historical figures. And this is really just the beginning, all these fantasy fulfillment things, because it can also be used as a powerful technique for therapeutic healing from different illnesses, from trauma, as a way of performance enhancement for building skills, practicing different skills. There's even scientific evidence that people who practice particular skills in a lucid dream do perform better afterwards. And then, even beyond that, it can be used as a tool for creativity, inspiration, and even spiritual growth. So there's quite a whole world that can open up when one understands that our dreams are actually realities that we can enter into and interact with.
Is it easy to enter the lucid dream state?
It takes a bit of practice. You know, the average person will have if you look at the population, around 50% of the people will have a lucid dream at some point in their life. If people start practicing techniques to help them lucid dream, they can lucid dream better than 50%, 70% of the time if they practice. They just recently did a scientific study that showed that when people combine two different lucid dream techniques, more than 50% of the time they will then have a lucid dream within a week. So it's kind of like developing an athletic skill. You have to sort of practice these different techniques, and when you do, you will almost eventually have one. I don't know of anyone personally who's practiced the techniques and didn't eventually have a lucid dream.
Let's talk a little bit about the dream itself, and can you alter it when you're in it?
Well, see, that's the most exciting thing about a lucid dream, is that you can't exactly, some people have the misconception that you can control the dream, that you can control the outcome, and you don't have that much control over the dream. You can influence it. You can interact with it. You can talk to the dream characters. You can really change the whole scenario of the dream if you want. What you can do is you can close your eyes, hold your arms out, and spin around in circles like a whirling dervish. And while you're so doing, imagine a situation that you would like to be dreaming about. And more often than not, when you come out of that whirling dervish experience, you'll find yourself in that reality. So it's a way of navigating through that world once you're there.
Amazing, it really is. And is science investigating this?
Yeah, this is the thing: is that for many years, it was regarded as a pseudoscience. It was not taken seriously by dream researchers and psychologists. For many years, it wasn't until the 1970s when two researchers, Keith Hearn in England and Stephen LaBerge here in California at Stanford University, independently of one another, did very similar experiments that showed that lucid dreaming was indeed a very real phenomena. What they did was they had subjects go to sleep in a sleep laboratory. They would be hooked up to all kinds of monitors so that they can be verified that they were asleep and dreaming. And, you know, there's different stages of sleep, and you can see the different stages they were going through on the monitors. And they were instructed to make particular movements with their eyes when they were in the lucid dream. And this is because, you know, when you're dreaming, when you're asleep, your body goes into a state of temporary paralysis. And this is so that you don't act out the behavior in your dream.
We sometimes call it the old hag syndrome.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to bang your head against the wall or bump in any sharp corners or anything like that. So your body gets paralyzed while you're asleep. And I think what you're referring to is during sleep paralysis. Sometimes people wake up and they see, you know, threatening figures like the old hag, like you're describing. But most of it, we can talk about that later. But most of the time, people during sleep paralysis are actually asleep and dreaming during this process. So,
do you uncover deja vu experiences in the dream state as well?
That's an interesting question that no one's asked me before, and it's true that I actually have. Well, deja vu experiences in the sense that I remember previous dreams that I've had, like I'll remember in a lucid dream that an environment that I was in when I was a child or something like that. And I wonder if they're actual memories from previous dreams or if they're memories from previous lifetimes. I mean, there's a school of thought that, you know, past life experiences come up in their dreams. I personally have dreams about being in Israel every single night, and I don't know why. I was only in Israel for a week of my life, and yet for some reason I dream about being in Israel, and I wonder, did I have a past life there or something like that? But it is interesting. I have had deja vu experiences, and I know other people that have had them as well in dreams.
Well, we'll talk about some of these tonight, David, especially when we take phone calls. The name of the book is Dreaming Wide Awake, Lucid Dreaming, Shamanic Healing, and Psychedelics. Do you need psychedelics to get into this lucid dream state?
Oh, absolutely not. No. This is something anyone can learn to do just by following some very simple techniques. The most simple technique, really, for learning to lucid dream is to get into the habit of asking yourself the question, am I dreaming right now? Get into the habit of asking yourself that question throughout the day, you know, every half hour or something. And don't just flippantly say, of course I'm not dreaming. You have to actually test your environment. Two simple ways of doing that is by holding your nostrils closed and trying to breathe through your nose, or looking at some written material, looking away, memorizing what it says, and looking back. In a dream, you will be able to breathe through your nostrils with no problem, and in a dream, when you look back at that written material, the words will almost always change. So that's a technique you can do. If you get into the habit of doing that regularly, you'll find that you can have a lucid dream probably within a week or two without doing any psychedelics. The reason that I bring up psychedelics in my book is because there is an interesting association between psychedelic states of consciousness and lucid dreams, and this is something that hadn't really been addressed in all the other books about lucid dreaming. So that was one of the things that I explored in my book, was the connection between those two different areas.
Why are lucid dreams so important, and why have you keyed in on them?
Well, I think they're so important because they have therapeutic value. They can help people to heal from illnesses. There's quite a bit of anecdotal evidence, although it hasn't been scientifically studied. But I have one story in my book about someone who had a very serious infection in their tonsils from poking it with a skewer by accident. And they went to sleep completely puffy and inflamed. And in their lucid dream, they imagined themselves going over to a mirror, looking in the mirror, and they imagined a bright white healing light around their neck area that was helping to dissolve the infection and heal that inflamed area. And when they woke up, they found that around 90% of that infection was gone. So there's that experience, and there's a number of other experiences that I talk about in my book that people have reported. There's a number of case studies where people have been able to heal themselves from physical illnesses. There's also a number of cases where people have been able to heal themselves from psychological traumas by confronting, you know, threatening figures in their life and helping to reconcile the situation and coming to some kind of therapeutic reconciliation with them. So there's very very profound possibilities for therapy. And then there's also skill performance enhancement. People can use it as a way of improving their skill. And then also, you know, the Tibetan Buddhists have been using it for thousands of years as a way to help people with spiritual growth. They see it as a way of preparing people for what they call the bardos, or the afterlife. They think that after we die, we enter into a serious state of consciousnesses that are very similar to dreams. And if we practice the techniques of lucid dreaming throughout our life, we can then become lucid after we die in these bardo states, and by so doing, achieve a type of liberation from the material world. And then in our next incarnation, they believe that we are reincarnated after this process, we can then choose to reincarnate on, say, a higher level. So they utilize lucid dreaming as a way for spiritual growth and for a way of being able to actively interact, engage in the afterlife in a way that will allow them to grow spiritually and have a more positive incarnation in the next lifetime.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.